It's Holly here with the Unleash Your Inner Legend podcast, and I'm so excited to have a powerhouse with us today. Today, we're here with my great friend, Mary Murphy, the founder of the Murphy Group. Super excited to have you on. Welcome, Mary.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for featuring me on your podcast.
Oh my gosh, and I'm excited too. We were just talking about this, that we've never done like a live podcast, especially here recently. It's so nice to have a conversation in person and, like Skype or Zoom, all those, it's great, but like there's something about being in person and feeling each other's energy as well as seeing each other's body.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And it was funny because it was different. Yeah. We're so used to Zoom and StreamYard and Facebook Live. I was like, wait a minute.
Wait, well,
we didn't actually touch each other. That's so weird.
And anyway, we're having a little happy hour. We just finished a day of masterminding at the kitchen table, so I'm super excited.
Yeah, cheers.
So yeah, Mary, you are a fantastic real estate agent. You're killing it. You're leading a great team. However, obviously you weren't like born like leading a big team. You really created and invented yourself. So let's talk, before we hop into like all your accomplishments and lessons learned, let's talk about your story. How did you get into real estate and really how you became the person you are today?
Okay, awesome. So I was a teacher and I was teaching pre-K special needs in South Philly, which is right over the bridge of where I live in South Jersey. And when I had my second child, it was really hard. I stayed home for a whole year with my first daughter. And now I was having my second one. I was going to have to go back to work after 3 months. And I did. And when I put the second girl in daycare, she really didn't love it. So it was really hard on me. And also I realized I was making like, after paying for daycare and going over the bridge and parking and all that stuff, it was like, I was making like $1,000 a month. It just didn't make any sense.
You were working for
financially.
Sanity.
Actually wasn't keeping me sane, actually.
It was, so
it was stressful and yeah. I was making no money. So I remember saying to Brian, like, this just doesn't make sense. Like, I think I should not do this anymore. Like, I'm going to finish out the school year. Like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then everyone always told me to be in sales. I loved bartending. Yeah. I love people. And I actually wasn't loving, it takes a special person to really teach pre-K special needs. And I did love it and I loved the children. I really missed the adult interaction. There was no adult interaction with that. So it wasn't the right fit for me.
Yeah.
So I left that job and I was like, I'm going to sell something. So what do I sell? I started looking at like Pampered Chef and like makeup and Avon and whatever else I could think of. I was looking up and then I was like, well, houses are the most expensive thing when I saw that.
Absolutely.
So that was really the whole epiphany that got me into real estate. I'm like, there's
so
not
really
hard. This is 2014 is when I started to look
at
it. So I got licensed in 2015.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because as soon as I got, we didn't need my money anyway because my husband was doing really well. And, then right after I finished real estate school, his job became eliminated. They didn't need him anymore. So he got laid off, which is probably the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yeah.
It
especially
was
today. We'll definitely get into that.
Yeah. So it was the best thing that ever happened to us, but we didn't know it at the time. And at the time, this part-time job where it said to sell a couple houses to make up that income became something that I was going to have to, he wanted to go start his own business and do his own thing. And at that point, I was already so in love with the idea of real estate that I was like, I'm going to make this work. And I had a year to do it where I was going to have to go back to teaching. And it was like, all right, so I know that I can make up that salary this year. So how am I going to do it? And that was really the story of how I got into it. It's been a fun ride.
That's so cool because it's cool. Like it really changed from like, oh, this is fun to this is fun, but we need it because our family now relies on this income to pay our bills.
Yes. And you know what? That was scary. It was really exciting because as soon as I started, I'm pretty much all in kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I decided that I was going to do this kind of part-time hobby thing, it was never going to be that for me anyway. I started digging into it and I'm watching YouTube videos and I remember the first interview I had with a RE/MAX broker. So the first thing I did was like, I'm going to sell houses. I had no idea how we got paid. I had no idea what that was like. How do I sell them? I didn't know anything. So I went on RE/MAX.com and I clicked careers. And the next day a recruiter called me and set me up with this RE/MAX broker. So I hadn't looked into real estate school. I really didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And when I sat down with him, I'll never forget that conversation because he could not have given me the time of day. Like I walked in this teacher who he was sure was not going to make it. In fact, he told me 95% of real estate agents don't make it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, was really inspiring.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that talk. It was like a sentence number two after, like, you know, hi, my name is, and you're going to probably fail. So I had that conversation with him. But in that conversation, he started telling me about different real estate models. And one of them, and was a kind of an up-and-coming company in my area at the time, was Keller Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he called them a cult, and he didn't have anything nice to say about them. But I left that interview thinking, well, if they're a cult, it means they don't leave. What is going on over there?
Yeah, there's
never
a reason
heard
why
of them.
People are saying
so
that.
I started Googling it and watching videos, and I just found all this training and education and speakers, and I was really in love with it. So when Brian got laid off and I had to do this full time, like, I was pretty fired up. Like, I was okay with it. And it worked out, actually.
That's
I awesome. Did really well my first year. I sold 37 houses that year.
Wow, that's incredible.
So got licensed in January of 2015, and by December of 2015, I sold 7 million, 37 houses, and I was making a lot more than I'd ever made as a teacher. I'll tell you that. In fact,
yeah.
In July and August that year, I had made as much as I made my whole entire salary as a teacher. I made in
that's
July and August.
Crazy.
And I was like, what is this? It's so fun and the money's so great. So anyway, that was kind of
the
story.
But the key to real estate, though, is it's feast or famine. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those listening, if you guys aren't familiar with real estate agents' compensation, it's commission only. Meaning you do not get paid until the sale of the home closes and it's funded. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'm going to get real estate because there's money. Yeah, but you've got to put the work in for it too as well.
So something interesting is I sold 4 houses the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I sold 33 the second 6 months.
That's crazy.
So it was that you had to build that pipeline.
100%.
So it was stressful that first 6 months. I had to just keep doing the activities and then figuring out how it was going to come to me after that.
I always tell people who are ever interested, I'm like, make sure you can go at least 3 to 6 months without a paycheck.
And that's so true. And actually, you should always, at every point of your real estate career, be 100%. Able to go 3 or 6 months without a paycheck.
You have to have that cushion and savings of your payments, of your house, your bills, living expenses, everything, because you just never know. Like in 2008, when you saw the housing market crash, now it's a fantastic time, but you never know when something's going to happen where, you know, especially COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
COVID happened and you guys couldn't even show homes.
And it could be, right. And it could be market related, or honestly, it could be personal. Like you could get sick or break your leg or you don't know. You have to have that cushion and that in place. So, I haven't always, and I've had some valuable lessons along the way, of course.
I think we all have.
Like taxes, no one told me about that.
Yeah, it's all
first.
Great. Like, well, I mean, I get this big commission check, and then you get, you know, Uncle Sam at the beginning of the year, you know, after April 15th or whatever, before, I guess, you file, and then you're like, wait, what? I owe you how much money?
What? I don't have that!
No one told me about this. 100%. So there's a lot of lessons learned going through that. So what advice would you say to somebody who was in a position as you are, you know, maybe they're a school teacher or maybe they're in something in a profession that they're not in love with? What advice would you say if they're interested in starting real estate?
So I would say find a great mentor. That's the first thing. So get licensed, and you need to make sure that you can find someone who is dedicated to putting their time into you.
Yep.
And that they have some sort of incentive to see you succeed. And if they have an incentive to see you succeed, then it's going to be a win-win. So you need to find a mentor, and that mentor needs to somehow be compensated. I would say that. So what I did was I joined a team. So I got in and 6 weeks licensed. I was doing what they were telling me to do. I was taking all the training. I took BOLD, which is like an intense, like 7-week course with Keller Williams. And I took all these things, and I realized, and one of the conversations I had in the beginning for the team leader was, he asked me how much money I wanted to make in real estate, and I said $100,000.
I said the exact same thing when Jay had asked me how much. I said $100,000 too. That's so funny.
I was embarrassed when I said it, actually, because I was like, I know most people don't make this, because the average agent I think makes like $40,000 a year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I said that, and then he said, then go hang out with the people who are making that and more. And I knew that, but I think I was like, well, how am I going to get them to spend any time with me? And the way that I figured it out was there needed to be an incentive for them to want to spend time with me. So I interviewed with teams, and I joined the top team in the office as an agent on their team. So that's
awesome.
Really how I started. And so my advice for a new agent is to find a mentor or join a team. And by joining a team, that's what you're doing, is that you are finding a mentor in that. So that's, there's no other way to do it. I can't even think of anything else that I would say besides that.
I agree completely on the team aspect too, because like that's how when I started real estate, I started on Jay Kinder's team. And it was like, I wouldn't know any other way because like I go in there, I have a desk, I got leads, I got floor time. I went into an established business. Everybody knew this brand versus, you know, if you're brand new, you've got to pay for ad spend. You've got to get your lead gen going. You've got to go out and market yourself. So I think that's fantastic advice for sure. It's like, you know, why not join a team where your success, like they're incentivized for your success.
Exactly. And also besides all those things you just mentioned, then you also, while you're trying to figure out how to sell a house, then you got to figure out how to write a contract and negotiate it. And there's just,
and they don't teach you that in real estate. I mean, you get the basis of it in real estate school, but they don't teach you a lot of that
stuff.
And
then when you have a mentor or like, it's just a very big gap in our business, but you have to learn all that. And while you're learning it, you have to continue selling because you've got to keep that pipeline full. So it was the right move for me to do that. 100%. I don't think that I should have done it any other way.
So you had that major move. Now let's talk about your other major move in your career that led you to where you are today.
Okay. So then I stayed on that first team for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
There were some transitions there. And then I joined another team in a different role, which was like, almost like a team leader role. I was an expansion director for one of the top teams in the state. So from top team in the office to now I wanted to be next to IAG to ceiling. Now I wanted to be next to another bigger producer. And I joined on the top team of the state to grow his team.
Yeah.
That wasn't the right fit for me, but each level I was kind of leveling up and leveling up the people that I was collaborating with as well. Not leaving anyone behind because most of the people along my journey are still great friends today.
100%.
It just needing something different in my business. So I did that. Then it was like I got licensed in 2015. Now it's like mid 2018. And I realized that it's time for me to spread my wings and I can do this on my own. I don't need the support anymore. I know how to lead generate. I'm selling 50 houses a year at that point. I didn't really need their admin. I could have my own. So I started my team on my own with my last company in the middle of 2018.
Yeah.
And from 2018 till coming here in the beginning of 2020, there was a lot of lessons learned, a lot of incorrect hires and growing pains and trying to figure out how to get the systems in place while prospecting and negotiating and doing all those things and running around and working 1,000 hours a week and never being disconnected from my phone.
Yeah.
So that happened to me for then. And then,
not to mention you have a family and everything.
I have two little kids. I have Brian, who's now back in the corporate world working full time.
Yep.
And we're trying to kind of manage everything. And I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love every aspect of it.
Yeah.
And there's parts of it that I needed to leverage and I just didn't.
It was like
know.
The operator part, I'm sure.
It is 100%. So I was looking and I always had a coach. So after 1 year license, so I went right away and got a mentor by joining a team. And after 1 year license, I hired my first coach.
Yep.
And then never was without a coach. Still have one. John is my coach now. I will never not have a coach, actually.
100%. Yeah.
So I always had one. And so it was just looking for that integrator. So I was reading a lot of books and I was taking all these different classes on who to find. And we talk about who, not how now.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
I was already... I knew that I needed to find the who, and I just didn't know how. Like, how do you figure that part out?
Yeah.
And I just kept failing at it. So, the beginning of 2020, and I had started to look at our model at EXP.
Mm-hmm.
I had seen a couple big players nationally move from Keller Williams over to EXP, which I was all in on my last company. I would teach everything. I was ALC. Still have a lot of love and a lot of friends there, and nothing bad to say. And I saw some people that I respected make a change nationally. So it started to pique my interest and I started to look at it.
Yeah.
And then the beginning of 2020, it was just, I didn't hit my goals in 2019. I was starting over again. It was me and an assistant. And now Brian, my husband, which get into that, he kind of finally came over to be that operator role for me.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is. And it was funny that I had that person I've had him for now for the other 15 years.
You had the who all along.
I had the who all along. I was married to him. And he was my integrator already in my life. And that was our conversation, Holly. That was what was so funny.
Yeah.
We were in Jamaica. And I had just gone through another assistant. And I had agents on my team. And the business was flowing. But I couldn't keep it going. And my customer service wasn't where I knew it needed to be. Where in my heart I wanted it to be. And my marketing wasn't there. There's just so many things that were out of place. And... finally said to him, I was like, babe, you know how like we want to go on vacation, like this vacation, and we want to do something, like a lot of times I'm like, hey, let's do this. And then you just do it all. And then it's done. And then we go. And that's the way it is. When we go on vacation, I'm like, babe, let's go on vacation. Let's go like at around this time. And then I don't even know what airline we're flying.
He just makes it happen.
He just makes it happen. Like, I couldn't get to our gate. I have no idea what time our flights are. Like, so I realized that at that time. I was like, why don't you just come do that in my business? I'm successful now. Like, the money is there. You hate your job. And he was doing well at his job, so.
But she already had, though, like, beforehand, he already wanted to dabble into creating his own business and being kind of creating his own thing. But then now, at this point in time, he's back in the corporate world.
He's back
so
in the corporate world because it's hard to start off at the 100%. Same time as entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
Think about that. We have a family, we're paying our own insurance, and we're trying to build these businesses simultaneously at the same time. And it just, it was too stressful. It just didn't work. So he got a very great job opportunity to go back into the corporate world. And at the time, that was the right move. And in fact, it was the right move.
Yeah.
So when I actually look at every step that we've made, I can name a thousand mistakes. But a lot of those big ones weren't really mistakes. They were lessons, and they got us to where we're.
But yeah, exactly. You learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like, oh, you know, playing victim, or, oh, this is a bad time,
or
you know, blaming whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of them were the next right decision.
Yeah.
So him going back into that corporate world, we needed him to do that at that time. And
because
time,
if he started his own company, he would have never got the opportunity for you guys to collaborate and have your own team. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
That part of time, he would be like, oh, I have my own thing. I can't help you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just made sense.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So then he joined me right before we came over to eXp.
Yeah.
So that's kind of.
So you're building your own team. How many agents did you have when you started at eXp?
So I had gone through a couple of agents on my team at my last company, and I realized that I didn't have the operations part dialed in. I didn't have Brian with me to do that part of it, and I had an assistant. So I had someone doing our transaction to close, but even that wasn't dialed in, because you can have someone who can do that transaction to close portion, but if you don't have a system for them to follow, now you're just, they call it that seagull leadership, and you're just dumping stuff on their plate, and I'm just running by and throwing things in their lap, and it wasn't working out.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning of 2020, that's when I looked and I realized that the agents that I brought on my team and the people that were there, a lot of them were the wrong choices, or I was the wrong choice for them at the same that time. It just wasn't working. So that's when I started looking around me, because I was always in my company. It was always like, this is the only way. And then I was like, wait, there might be other ways.
Yeah.
And there might be other people that I can be connected with. And at that point, when now that I'm on my own building my own team, now there's no longer anyone incentivized to help me.
Yeah, it's on you. You're
it's
the one
all
that
on
says,
me,
yeah.
And then the coach that I hire, and if the coach that I hire isn't the right fit, so now I just feel a little bit alone.
Yeah,
and that's what attracted me to this model. And Jay Kinder, who is my sponsor, and who is your team leader, that's really all he talks about is collaboration and partnership, and that's what I was looking for: collaboration and partnership. Like, someone who's done this before me. Tell me what to do before
let's
I go wrong.
Let's just collapse time and let me learn through your lessons learned versus going out and making no mistakes. And then, like, you know what I mean? Like, how many years did you collapse time by collaborating with people? And I think we always hear all the time, the most expensive thing you could own as an entrepreneur is a closed mind. So if you didn't have that open mind, I mean, you would still be, you know, I mean, you're killing it in real estate. You'd still be killing it in real estate. But would you ever have the time and freedom to just be able to come to here in Dallas and, you know, attend a mastermind. And, you know, not even just attend a mastermind, but attend a mastermind with your husband,
mm-hmm.
who is your, you know, you guys are just an amazing balance of each other and how you operate. I think it's amazing to see you guys, how you guys collaborate. I think a lot of people would take a lot of lessons from how you guys really make things work together.
And I think a lot of that has to do with just being humble, which we talk about all the time. And you know what's funny is that people who are really successful in this business and really in any business, I'm finding that the ones who are the most successful are the ones that want to give back the most. They're humble. They're not arrogant. They're really not most of them. So, and I think that was part, that's a character trait that we all share.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, okay, I'm doing well. And people are patting me on the back and telling me how amazing I am all the time. You know, and I'm doing well and I'm doing it fast and great job. But inside, I was like, I could be doing it so much better. My customer service needs to be better. My contract to close needs to be better. Like, people need to be better.
Yeah.
And that's the dialogue that I have going on.
Yeah.
The exterior dialogue was like, Mary, you're killing it. You're awesome. You're amazing. I'm like, am not doing everything right. So that was kind of, and that's why we're here. Because mm-hmm. I still have that same internal dialogue. It's not that I don't celebrate my wins. Because I had to learn to do that. Yeah. That was something I had to learn to do. Celebrate.
It's so tough. I think not only as entrepreneurs, but like as women, I think we're just so worried about the next thing or the next play that we're not like, wait a minute, like, we just did something that was like kick ass.
Right.
Way to go. Like, we did whatever. It could be something small, like, my gosh, I finally folded a basket of laundry. Or it could be something huge, like, I just closed this multi-million-dollar client.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's also being like, wow, I did that and that was awesome, period.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're always like, I did that was awesome, but.
Yeah.
I could have
done this better.
Right. And that wasn't perfect. And it's like, I had to train my mind and myself to be able to see the growth in everything and at the same time celebrate, like, where we've gone, you know? So it's pretty cool.
So I would love to hear, like, how did you kind of grow from a team member to team leader to founder? Like, what does that transition look like? And what would you contribute, like, as far as habits and personal development goes, what would you contribute to that, to your progression?
So I think that I was always a leader. I was always going to be a leader. I was always attracted to being in a leadership role. And that's what I was searching for.
Your education background helps with that because you're always used to pouring into others.
And which is probably why I was attracted to that profession, right? Yeah. So I was attracted to being a leader. So on these teams and with these people, what I was doing was watching how they led and taking a lot of that in. And then also thinking of things that I would have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're with someone else's team, a lot of times you're like, well, I would like to do that differently. Or now I've grown past
you learn,
that.
You learn how not to lead.
Right. Yeah. In addition to learning how to lead. So I can say that every leader that I've been around, they've given me something and I think about them in some way that they've added to where I am now. So we came over, that was your question. I don't even think I answered it. We came over to EXP, a team of three.
Yeah.
And it was me, my assistant, Jen, who's still with me now, and my husband, Brian, who was just finished real estate school. So he just decided to get licensed. He was always going to be the operator, but really, what does the operator do?
Yeah.
They pick up the pieces of the part of the business that needs to be done right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did was he got licensed because the buyer leads, like I was just all listings and the buyer sales and the buyer leads were just falling by the wayside. And him being just numbers focused and organized was like, this is not making sense. You can't sell like 55 listings and 10 buyers. Like this doesn't make mad valuable sense. Like each listing should bring a buyer. Like how is this not working?
100%, yeah.
So he understood that right away. So he's like, I'm going to do the buyer business. And with him doing that, he did that for almost a year. It was great because now he knows every aspect of the business as well.
Yeah.
And he was converting buyer sales and he did a lot. So last year, so 2019, we sold about 70 houses and 2020, it was the same exact thing. So in 2019, it was almost exactly the same, 2019 and 2020. Yeah. But a lot of things happened.
But 2020 was a crazy year too.
2020 was the year that we were going to build our business and the right way. It was a foundation year. So they say to slow down, to speed up, which is not in my vocabulary. I don't even know how to slow down. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to go fast and learn as I go. And we did 2020. They forced us to slow down.
Yeah.
We also switched brokerages. So in February of 2020, then it was like, I finally, after looking at it for a year and talking to Jay and then just starting to like plug into some of the people and looking them up, and it's just this abundant mindset that I just kept seeing over and over, just like wanting to give back. Mm-hmm. Nobody was pitching it to me. I wasn't being recruited, which is what we hear all the time. That wasn't happening. No one had ever tried to recruit me.
Yeah.
And what was happening now was people were just trying to add value to me for no reason. And I'm like, well,
you're going, I'm waiting for the sales line. I'm waiting for the sales pitch.
And Jay would say some things to me too, because he's a pretty aggressive guy. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are listening, maybe you've seen him, and if you haven't, he's an aggressive, no nonsense, like, straight shooter, which appeals to me anyway, because I'm the exact same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he just said a couple things, like asking me if I was open-minded and stuff like that. So I looked into the opportunity and we came over here. And as soon as we got here, the whole world shut down. So we leave a brokerage where we're recognized, where I'm a leader and I'm giving back and I'm teaching and I'm surrounded by
rock and rolling, yep.
We're doing well.
So surrounded by people too. That's going to be interesting because EXP's cloud based. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear about that too.
So that was one of my biggest pushbacks was I'm like, I can't, like I feed off of other people. Like being around agents, like literally feeds my soul. Like that is one of the driving things. I just love it. So I couldn't imagine how I could possibly go from being surrounded by people to being an avatar. I'm like, that's not, I can't. And then he started to show me how it doesn't really look like that. And as I started looking at EXP, it doesn't look like that. And there were still conferences. And when I looked around the physical building that I was in, I didn't have the people that I wanted to collaborate with anyway. Yeah. And also, why would they collaborate with me? They're not going to tell me or help me build my business because I'm going to do it in their backyard better.
Yeah. You know, it's a competition.
Exactly. Yeah. So it just, so that sort of started to make sense too. I'm like, okay, the collaboration is going to work better when we're not in the same market anyway. Mm-hmm. And when you get to a certain level, there's no one in your market anyway because you get there and it just gets thinner and thinner and thinner as you raise.
Where's the opportunity stop? You know, you can only go so far. Yeah.
Yes. So that's kind of where I then decided to make the change. And then the whole world shut down. Like I came over in February and April was supposed to be our first shareholders. I think it was like early April. It might have been in March. It was the end of March. It was like a month later I was going to be able to come and be physically with everybody and go to an event. I had always gone to every single national, regional event, coaching.
Yeah.
So that was a part of my life and my growth. And when that got canceled, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is hard. Like,
yeah.
And then now I went from being in an office where I had two offices and now I'm in my living room. Like we turned my, I have a big like living room in the front and I turned that into an office and my assistant was working from my living room. I was working from there. Ryan was working from the dining room.
You never really feel like in that kind of, I guess, how do I say this? In that kind of, that decision was made for you. It was forced. And that forced decision, your house doesn't feel like a home at that point because it's like you're forced to.
And my kids were there too.
Yeah.
So now I just start working with my husband. My
so children kitchen everywhere.
It was really stressful. And then, you know what? And honestly, I guess it was going to be forced in the beginning anyway. Because I didn't know how EXP was going to work and how I was going to feel working from home. Because I had never done that.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was always like, okay, working from home is temporary.
Yeah.
Because we're cloud-based.
Yeah.
But what cloud-based? Cloud-based doesn't mean you can't go to an office.
Yeah. There's nothing that says, yeah, you can't have, well, we'll talk about that too. But
yeah,
nothing saying you can't have an office setting.
No, right? Cloud-based means you can work from anywhere.
Yeah.
And you choose where you want to work. I love, love, love that about our company.
100%. Like right now, well, probably not right now because it's a little bit later, but during office hours, you could just hop into the world and go meet with your broker right now.
Exactly.
In here in Dallas, Texas.
Yes. And jump on Workplace.
Well, if you have a question about financing, you just go hop in and talk to accounting. I mean, beforehand, like you'd have to book appointments or you would have to get your car, drive to the office, and everything else like that.
Right. Or stock the office door, text, call, wait for a response back. Right. So the response time. Also, I don't need my broker that much.
Yeah.
And even, but as a newer agent or someone who does, 100%. You absolutely get,
you have that ability.
Respond to me. I've never not been responded to in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless like it says he's out of office. Yeah. If he's in office, it's an immediate response. It's pretty amazing. So, anyway, so now we're all home and it's March and it's COVID and the whole world shuts down and we're quarantined and three transactions fall apart immediately. And I was like, oh my gosh. Brian just left his corporate job. Like, this is our whole livelihood. Jen's sitting in my living room and I have a salary and like, she's a single mom. Like,
so she depends on you. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So it's like now I'm not only responsible for my family, I'm responsible for hers. And it was very, very scary. I will say that my transition here to EXP was the scariest time in my entire life. But it didn't last long. Yeah. It really didn't because it's like, well, okay, this is where we are and I can decide not to get out of bed or I can figure out how the heck to do with what I'm going to do with where we are. Right?
Yeah.
And I also realized at that time right away that I wasn't going to like working from home.
Yeah.
And we have like Regis spaces or whatever. I was like, you know what? That's not going to be the right fit for me.
Well, yeah, it's not the ideal. It's not the ideal for you.
It wasn't the right fit for me. And with what I wanted to do and how I wanted to grow, I wanted to grow a big team and I needed a spot for us to be. So then I was like, well, we need an office. And one of the great things that came out of COVID, which there are a couple, there's been some silver linings, you know? So one of the great things was I could take my broker's class through Zoom.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right. So it was like, quarantined for 2 weeks, ready to kill everybody and go back to teaching. And now I'm like, all right, I'm going to take my broker's class. And I had just started coaching with John at the time as well. So John had started looking into my business and doing our strategic planning and stuff.
And just to preface too, so you wanted an office. However, you wouldn't have been able to just go and rent out a space because you weren't a broker.
That's right.
Which is why you wanted to get your broker's license so that you could really, truly open up your own office.
Exactly. And that wasn't on the plan for 2020 originally.
Yeah.
But everything we do, and one of the things with coaching with John too, is that decision getting us closer to the goal.
Yeah.
So getting my broker's license in 2020 was not on my business plan.
Yeah.
But I realized that in order to get to the goal, I couldn't work from home. I needed to be able to have a place where I could have my assistant and have my people and we could collaborate and do it in an office setting. In order to do that, I needed my broker's license. Now, all of a sudden, it plops onto your business plan, and luckily, I could do it through Zoom, which was awesome. So I did that. And then shortly after that, it took a little while to get my broker's license, of course, and paperwork. In June, I rented our space, and it became a branch office in September.
That's crazy. So when did you – now you have a large team – so how did that progression happen? Because there's so many unknowns, you're trying to get an office, all this other stuff. So how did you work through that and still add to the team?
So I think that a lot of 2020 was just reflecting on what pieces need to be in place first to get where we're going.
Yeah.
Right? So it's what we always talk about in having a strong foundation. You build your foundation on if you build it on a crumbling foundation, it will crumble down. Yeah. And I started to realize that because I had been part of teams that maybe didn't have a strong foundation. Mm-hmm. And I've watched people rebuild and rebuild. And I was doing it myself now in 2020. I'm like, I don't want to rebuild from the ground ever again.
That's so good.
So let's just build this foundation. The focus is the foundation right now. And I'm not bringing agents on. And I'm not trying to get more business. I have enough steady flow of business. I know that I'll sell my 70 and I'll do that this year. And at the same time, we're going to build a strong foundation that's going to attract people to it and the right people. And then we can grow.
Then you can scale the business from there.
And then you can scale.
That's so good about the foundation because so many people, they're so concerned about, I'm going to move on to the next thing. Or, I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to worry about this. And instead of worrying about the solid foundation, like you said, you have this crumbly foundation. And then you try to hodgepodge and build a twan. And it's just it's not a good organization at the end of the day.
It isn't. And we naturally, and it does make sense why we do that, is that we start having more business than we can handle.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is find people who can handle that business on the sales side.
Yeah.
Right? Because it feels unnatural for us to let anything fall through the cracks. And we want to gather all that business. And at the same time, we don't think about the infrastructure. And how are we going to now give that customer service and the customer experience? And how are we going to give the experience to the agents that we're now bringing on to handle it, who they all need me.
Yeah.
And I can't give that back to them. And what I noticed in 2019, our goal was 100 transactions and we did 70 and most of it was me.
Yeah.
The second half of 2019, I watched my business go down because I didn't have that foundation. Mm-hmm. And because I had these agents, I had three agents and I went through four assistants because they just weren't the right fit.
Yeah.
And I had all these people who needed me all the time. And so because they all needed me and I didn't have a strong foundation of people in place, it took away from my own production.
Yeah.
So then the fourth quarter of 2019, I'm like, this is not the right way to do it. This is not it. Like now I'm like,
something's gotta change.
So now that we have that foundation and Brian's in the right seat now. Yes. So Brian was doing buyers and learning the business and figuring that out.
Which is good for him to go through that and say, okay, agent that I'm helping bring you on board, I know exactly what you've been through because I've done the exact same thing. I think it's super helpful in leadership that knowing, not like, I've seen somebody sell houses. No, I've actually, drove around for hours. I've wrote contracts at midnight. I've done all the negotiation. I think it's super powerful for him to have that experience so that whenever he's leading, he'll be able to come from a place of experience, not theory.
Exactly right. And so it's made him even so much better in a role that he was already meant to be in anyway.
Yeah.
So now he does have that experience, plus his experience through me for all these years now. And so he moved into the operations role and we decided with that, we were going to bring agents on to handle that buyer business, but we didn't care about it. It wasn't the focus. focus was getting Jen, our assistant, in place where she can really handle what she can handle well, which is the transaction to close. Brian managing all of the people who are managing all of the operations.
Yep.
Hiring an inside sales agent to do the prospecting so that I didn't have to do all of the prospecting, so that I could appointments and meet our agents as we brought them on.
Yeah.
Hiring a virtual assistant to do all the marketing so that then we were able to leverage that also off of Jen, who now she's managing a lot of transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian running the numbers and the P&L and knowing exactly where we are at all times. So all of that is now in place. And now the agents are there. Now we have 7 agents, but we have enough for all of them.
Yeah. Okay. So you have all these systems into place. You're starting to build a team. So now you go from a team of 3 to where are you at today?
So now we are a team of 11.
Yeah.
So there's 4 on the, operations end of it.
Almost quadruple. I mean, obviously more than triple, almost quadruple. Just by knowing, wait a minute, let's pump the brakes on not trying to, let's bring all these agents on it, let's do this. Let's create systems, let's create processes, and let's really create a solid foundation of the right people doing the right things.
Right.
In the right order.
Exactly. So we can support the agents that we bring on. It's really about them at the end of the day, too. So we can support them and coach them, and I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm not running around like a crazy person trying to do too many things. We know our roles now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have 7 agents, and we have 4 on the operations staff. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
And 7 including me as an agent too.
Well, Mary, your leadership is fantastic. We've known each other for the past year or two. I've loved seeing the progression of what you've already done, but I appreciate you being raw and real and talking about the progression and, kind of, what is it, going backwards and letting, sharing a little bit more of, hey, this is who I am today, but wait a minute, there's more. Here's my story. So I appreciate you sharing everything. And for those who are listening in today and they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to contact you, connect with you, and follow you to continually see your journey of evolution?
So they can find me on Facebook or Instagram. It's Mary Murphy. You could also just Google me. You'll find me on Google.
Yeah.
So, I would love to follow and continue to share. I mean, just one last thing that I'll say.
Yeah.
With doing the 70 units for 2 years in a row, we're already pretty much at that for 2021.
Yeah.
So we're going to more than double our business in 2021, we'll double our business, more than double.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's because of having that in place.
Yeah.
But I didn't create any of that. Like, it was really just mimicking what people had already done, coaching with John, being coachable, and then taking action. And continuing to evaluate the action that we took to see if it made sense and we did the right thing. Because besides our team of now 11, we have 30 in our office.
Yes.
So we went from 3 to 30.
3 to 30.
And it's pretty amazing. It's awesome because I went somewhere where I was like, I'm going to be an avatar, bow out alone.
Yeah.
And now we had to take the second floor of our building because we have grown out of the space that I already had. So it's really, really super exciting. And I would love to just continue sharing it, but.
Yeah, I think for you, words that would sum up you would be coachable, it would be implementation, it would be delegation, right? But then it's also priority, but then building the systems and processes too as well.
Yeah,
so many great lessons you just shared. I appreciate that. You guys make sure you follow Mary. She's incredible. Reach out to her if you have any questions. As you guys already heard, she's a powerhouse and she's doing some great things. So make sure you follow her. And other than that, is there anything last words that you'd like to share with listeners?
The last thing I would say is just the first thing I would do is figure out what your strength zone is and what you really want to be doing with your time.
Yeah.
What is freedom for you? Like, I love this. Holly, we could do this every day. It's so fun. I love this.
Yeah.
And that's freedom for me to be able to coach and train agents, to be able to share with an audience. Be able to get agents who are brand new and help them get into production. So maybe that's not everybody's vision.
That's so key for you to say, what's freedom to you?
Right. So freedom to Brian is putting all those crazy puzzle pieces that I threw all over the floor and picking them all up and throwing that puzzle together.
It's having the availability, the freedom to do that, right?
And having the freedom to do that. And the picture on the puzzle might be mine, but he's putting all those pieces together. And now we both have freedom. We're both in our passion zone. Yeah. So I guess the best advice I could give is, what is your passion zone? Where are you happiest?
Yeah.
And then just do whatever you have to do to get there.
That's amazing.
And that's it.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for tuning in. You guys make sure to connect with her. appreciate you. And I'm sure we will definitely have you on a future episode as you go through from 3 to 30. And I cannot wait to see where you're at the next time we talk.
Me too. It was so fun. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks.
It's your host here, Holly Kitchens, and I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the Unleash Your Inner Legend podcast. I hope you found inspiration and motivation in this episode. For resources to help you unleash your inner legend, go to hollykitchens.com. I will catch you guys on the next episode.